Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight as I talk about spiritual revelation. Spiritual revelation doesn't come through flesh and blood. Just as Jesus talked to Peter and the disciples and asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, this did not come through flesh and blood. This revelation was not revealed through flesh and blood, but the Father has revealed this to you. And I want to say that through the Holy Spirit, as we open ourselves up to the flow of the Holy Spirit, so as God is moving among us, then we will pick up things from the Holy Spirit. We will pick up revelation and insight. We're not going to understand everything just by reading the Word, just by having people teach us, but we're going to understand the most as we learn from the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said, the Holy Spirit will teach you in all things. Jesus also said, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you in all things. Paul said, you have no need of a teacher. Although, I'm not saying to disrespect the teachers and the pastors out there, but I am saying, as we read the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to confirm to us that the Word is truth. The Holy Spirit is going to confirm to us as we're believing that we're believing correctly, as we believe the Word of God, as we believe the truths that we receive through the Word. So more is caught than taught in the Spirit. More is caught than taught. And this can be true for many different aspects of our lives, whether it be education, whether it be in the workplace, or anywhere we may come across teaching in our daily lives. More is going to be picked up through hands-on experience or through the Spirit of God when we talk about spiritual things than will be taught in the traditional sense. So the Bible is just words on a page to a person who has no faith in those words. If you're not believing the thing, if you're not believing the Word of God, if you're not believing what God has revealed to us, then it's going to be of no effect or of no influence in your life. But as you place your faith in the Word of God, as you place your faith in Jesus, the same words that are of no value to unbelievers become alive and active in your life, in the life of a person who believes those words, the words of the Bible. So let's pray. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, for the divine revelation and insight you revealed to us. The greatest revelation that we could ever receive is that Jesus is your Son, that he is the Word of God, that he is God manifest in human flesh, that he is Lord and Savior of all. And Lord, we place our faith in him, and through him we receive revelation, but we just bring it back to Calvary even now. I had a word from you recently that just said, go back to Calvary. Bring them back to Calvary. So we bring it back to Calvary. We just lay down everything at the cross even now. We lay down every heavy burden. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We lay down every sin. Lord, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, purify us, that our heart would be clean before you. For the day that you return, we don't know the time, we don't know the hour when you're going to return and come like a thief in the night. So come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And as you come, we pray that you would find your bride spotless, Lord. Refine, cleanse, and purify in Jesus' name, and speak your words and not my own, Holy Spirit. Speak your words and not my own. Lord God, that we would live out every good work that you have prepared for us, that you have preordained for us in this life, that we would have the greatest impact, and that we would live up to our fullest potential in Jesus' name. So in our world, there are many different opinions and perspectives concerning Jesus. Some say he was a prophet, some a good man, but those who believe in his words believe he is the Son of God. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So this is a perfect example of spiritual revelation, and this is the greatest revelation you can have in your lifetime, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. While the religious leaders, scribes, and even those within Jesus' inner circle were confused about Jesus' identity, Peter knew exactly who he was, but this revelation didn't come through natural means. It didn't come through flesh and blood. It didn't come through teaching. It came through the Holy Spirit moving as the Father revealed Christ to Peter. So as Jesus told Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. The Father who is in heaven revealed the Son. He reveals the Son, and the Son reveals the Father to those who put their faith in Him. So Jesus needs to reveal who God truly is. We can't have the Father without the Son. I've seen this with people I've known who have sought after God without placing their faith in Jesus. They've sought after God in mosques and temples, you know, whether they were Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim, many different religions who have sought after God. But the only thing they've come up with on that or through that was an emotional feeling, a sense of, you know, I think I'm doing the right thing, a sense of I feel good by going there, and I feel like I'm doing something for the community. I feel like I'm doing something that is morally correct. Those good feelings that other people get in other religions are strictly emotion. They have nothing to do with spirituality. And in fact, they can partner with demonic spirits by not believing in the true form of spirituality that comes only through Christ. So let's turn now to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, Jesus says, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Are you getting that? The one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So what Jesus is saying here is that some may know God to some degree. Some may know Him, but the way they know one another and have relationship is like nothing we could ever imagine. The way the Father knows the Son, the way the Son knows the Father. Jesus talks in John 14 about how He is in the Father and the Father is in Him, about how we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. So there's a connection between us and Jesus because we are the body of Christ, those who are believers and followers of Christ, and Jesus is in the Father is in Him. That means that Jesus is an aspect of God. He's the Word of God. He's eternal because He's always been with the Father. He's always been a part of the Father. He is of the Father, if that makes sense. So they operate in unison. They are one in essence and purpose, the Father and the Son. And to truly know the Father, you also have to know the Son, who is Jesus. So He was manifest on the earth not only to destroy the works of the enemy, but to reveal the Father's goodness, graciousness, and love among many other attributes. But the greatest of all is love. Christ was manifested to demonstrate, hallelujah, on the cross, the great love and mercy of God. The great love that came down from heaven, that reached down from heaven. He reached down with His arm, and He reconciled all things unto Himself. So in so many words, the full revelation of God must come through the Son. Jesus expressed the true character and nature of God among us. So speaking of revelation, let's talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. So as Paul speaks here to the Ephesians, he tells them that he gives thanks to the Lord. He gives thanks for them often or always, and that it's their faith and love for the saints that pleases Him. He lets them know that he's mentioning them in his prayers. But as we read on, we see that Paul is praying that the church at Ephesus would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is for every believer. This is not the gift of the word of wisdom or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, but this is a separate gift for every believer. This is an impartation. This is revelation. And he wants each one of them to understand the scripture deeper and to understand the mysteries of God in a deeper way. So Paul explains what happens when a person has their eyes open to know the hope we have in Christ and the inheritance of the saints, to have spiritual understanding and knowledge of the exceeding greatness of Christ's power toward us. And part of His power toward us is His love toward us. Amen? So this is not a spiritual gift like word of wisdom or word of knowledge. This is a gift of revelation that's available to every single believer. The spirit of wisdom and revelation refers to the Holy Spirit's work in guiding Christians to understand God's truth, to understand His word, but to understand what is being released even in the Spirit, what is being revealed in the Spirit. And when I say it's a gift, I mean it's something we can receive to assist us in understanding the Scriptures, as I just said, and God's will for our lives personally and as the body of Christ as a whole. One example I can give is think back to the first time you read a specific story or passage in the Bible, and then think about the next time you read it again. Was there not a greater understanding? And many times this comes through the Spirit. not by natural means, not because all of a sudden we got smarter. Hallelujah. Not because we got smarter, but because the Holy Spirit is now revealing more of what's there. There's layers. You can keep going deeper and deeper with Scripture. The more you read, the more you pray and ask God to give you insight into what His Word is saying. And we want to go deeper with God. We always want to go deeper. We always want to have more revelation. Hallelujah. I want to keep it simple. We're supposed to keep it simple. There's simplicity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, if we have greater revelation, we'll know God in deeper and more intimate ways through that. Through the Holy Spirit, what was hidden in plain sight becomes evident as it's illuminated and simplified for us that we may believe the truth of God's word. Sometimes it feels like we're reading a riddle. When you first read certain parts or passages of the Bible, it's like, God, I feel like I'm reading a riddle. I feel like I don't understand anything here. But as we read on, as we ask for revelation and insight from the Holy Spirit, He starts to make things clear. He starts to simplify things to where we can grasp them and apply those principles to our lives. Now let's go to Genesis 18, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. This is a story where, you know, there's many different interpretations, but I'm going to just state what's apparent here. And also what I believe about this, I'll tell you what's scripture and what is not. What is scripture and what is my opinion? We always have to discern those two as well. Amen. So, again, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Do not pass on by your servant. So the question is, how did he know this was God? How did he know who this was? So the Lord appears to Abraham here under the terebinth trees of Mamre. The terebinth tree is a large tree that can grow to be very wide and very tall, which provides plenty of shade. It's possible that Abraham may have been looking for a place to rest and find refuge from the rays of the sun at that point in the day. It's possible. So I believe there's a reason why Scripture specifies what kind of tree he was under when the Lord appeared. I believe there's significance for every single Scripture, and there's a reason behind why it was written the way it was written, why it was revealed the way it was revealed. So get this, as I investigated what a terebinth tree is, this is the information that I was able to pull together. So the resin from the terebinth tree is used to treat a wide range of sicknesses and ailments. The resin is used to treat arthritis, gout, asthma, eczema, ulcers, and even cancer. So this tree is significant because it's a sign of healing, wholeness, and strength. The word terebinth actually means strong or mighty tree, or strong or mighty man. As Abraham was there under the tree in his tent, he saw three men standing near him when he looked up. He ran toward them and bowed before them. Now, I want to explain something about this encounter that you may have missed. So do you realize that God didn't announce himself here, nor did Abraham ask who these men were before running to them and bowing before them? A typical response to visitors in this culture and at this time would be for a man to arise as those men approached. He would stand up and he would wait for them to approach before addressing them. But in this case, Abraham ran toward these men and then bowed down before them, which is only reserved for royalty or deity, was only reserved for royalty or deity, meaning he was standing before God in this culture. So I want you to understand that Abraham knew the Lord's presence, and he was intimate. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord. So I truly, truly believe that as he sensed the presence of God, as he knew the Lord was drawing near, if you know what I'm talking about here, when you sense the presence of the Lord, you know. You just know there's no introduction needed. God doesn't need to announce anything. No one needs to announce anything. There doesn't need to be a trumpet blast. Hallelujah. There's a trumpet blast that happens in the Spirit. There's life and peace infused into the atmosphere is the best way I can describe it. But Abraham knew the Lord was approaching, so he ran to him and he submitted himself before the Lord, before the angel of the Lord. So he sensed the presence of God before he ever saw God and his two angels. So the Lord appeared as the angel of the Lord, which he did many times in the Old Testament, but he came along with two other angels. So in this instance, God appeared as the angel of the Lord along with two other angels. It wasn't as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but could have been a sign of the way he chooses to manifest himself to men. So I would say this wasn't Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, it wasn't. God didn't manifest himself that way here. I don't believe that. But I do believe the fact that three of them showed up could have signified or symbolized the Trinity in some aspect. So he chose to appear with two angels rather than appearing alone as the angel of the Lord. To me, again, this is significant. God appeared to speak with Abraham about the birth of Isaac, which would be the fulfillment of the promise he had made to Abraham. God had made an everlasting covenant with Abraham to be his God and to be the God of his descendants forever. God also shared what he planned to do regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. He planned to send his angels into Sodom and Gomorrah to see if the conditions were as terrible as what was being reported. So from the text, it sounds like many people have been crying out for justice in these cities because of the sinful acts and abuses that were taking place. Those cities were destroyed because the angels were sent and found the reports to be true. So God knew what was going on beforehand, but he gave this city one last chance. He gave these cities one last chance as he sent his angels there to see what the condition was at that time before declaring judgment and releasing his wrath upon them. So the men of Sodom wanted to take the angels by force to have sexual relations with them. When the destruction of Sodom took place, the angels safely brought Abraham, his wife, and his daughters out of the city. His wife was the one who looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Many of you know this story. Perhaps she was thinking about returning for valuables, but when God tells you move forward, you better move forward. When God tells you this is the way you should go for your own safety, for your own well-being, for your own health, for your own salvation, that's the way you go. And hallelujah, and I just feel something in my spirit. I sense something in my spirit right now from God that's telling you. God has given you the way. God has shown you that salvation is through his Son, and only through his Son, the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. What was Jesus saying when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? He was saying, I'm the way. There's not many ways. There's not many different ways to God, to heaven. I'm the only way. He said, I'm the truth. He didn't say, I'm one of many truths. He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. What does that mean? It means he is literally the life of God. He is literally life itself. You're not going to find life on this side of heaven or the other without Christ. So God has made the way, just like he made the way for Lot and his wife and his daughters to get out of Sodom, to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's made a way for you to get out of the sin that so easily entangles, to get out of hell and to not go there, but to be in a place of paradise where there's no pain, where there's no sorrow. So take that opportunity. Take that opportunity. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe in him as Lord and Savior. Repent. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Turn from your sins. Hallelujah. And let the Holy Spirit empower you and give you a brand new life. He can make you clean. He can make you brand new. Even now, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray and declare freedom, transformation, deliverance in Jesus' name. Every devil, break off in Jesus' name right now. You have no power, devils. You have no power because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here even now, pushing back darkness and shining his light into darkness. So what God reveals to us in the Spirit is something we shouldn't doubt. We need to hold on to those things that have been revealed to us. We need to take heed to the voice of God. God wants to impart to you the deep things that many would mock or consider unnecessary. As we continue to pursue his presence, we will find the Lord. But as he leads you out of your Sodom and into safety, don't look back. Don't consider God's command a joke, or you could be left behind. Don't consider him a joke. Don't mock him. Because you could be left behind. You could be left behind to suffer the wrath of God. And God came to earth as Jesus. He offered up his one and only Son, that the wrath of God would be placed upon his Son, and we wouldn't have to feel that wrath, that we wouldn't have to suffer for sin, but that Jesus would. So let every sin crush Jesus. It already has. Let every weight and every burden crush Jesus, because it already has. Hallelujah. Let it go right now. Let go and let God move as he wants to move, as he wants to flow, in Jesus' mighty name. So you could miss out on seeing God's promise fulfilled in your life if you keep looking back. If you keep looking back, if you keep holding on to the past, if you keep thinking about, well, I'm going to miss out on this, I'm going to miss out on that, just because God is calling you to something greater. He's calling you to freedom. I want to tell you this, that there's nothing compared to what you're going to find in him. Freedom, peace, love, joy, mercy, grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Favor that you don't deserve. Favor that is going to propel you forward into greater things in every aspect and area of your life. I want you to understand that right now. I want you to understand Jesus is calling to you. Jesus is saying, reach out, grab my hand. I can pull you from the pit. In him, we find all that we need. In his presence, we find all that we need. And I believe some of you, even now, are like Abraham. As you sense the presence of God, you're going to say, The Lord is here. The Lord is here with me in my house. The Lord is here with me in my apartment. The Lord is here with me in my car. Wherever you are, I believe that you're going to receive even now. I believe that you're receiving the divine impartation, revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're receiving from God. I just pray that each one that doesn't know you is drawn unto yourself, drawn unto your goodness, drawn unto your mercy, drawn unto your grace, Lord. Oh, Lord, God knows, you know, Lord, that you deliver me from hell. You deliver me from death. You deliver me from life in prison. Lord, you can deliver out of any circumstance. So, Lord, deliver now. Lord, as we set our minds and hearts on you, and I want to tell you, it's as simple as this. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Turn from those sins. Make a decision to live differently, to live according to the ways of God. Place your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Place your faith in Him. Place your faith in the fact that He died on the cross for your sins, that He resurrected, and that He is Lord forevermore. Make Him the Lord of your life. Follow Him, and you'll have eternal life. And your life is going to be completely different as the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. This is called being born again. You're going to see things different. You're going to experience things in a different way. You're going to see what's right from what's wrong. You're going to be able to discern things in the Spirit that you couldn't before. So I pray that you truly have learned about spiritual revelation tonight, and that you've picked up what the Lord is imparting, that you've received and caught what He's teaching even now. Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a beautiful night. Keep your eyes to the skies and your hand to the plow. God bless you.